GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new .com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. $1.99 for a domain name is so cheap. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter code CRAPPINS at checkout. You will not regret it. Enter the code CRAPPINS at checkout, you guys. Okay? Love ya.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast of Bravo, nothing runs with Bravo.
That's okay, we only care about Bravo.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here, as usual, with Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Benjamin.
Hi, Ronnie.
Before we get started, you can find me at Trash Tweet TV on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at Trash Tweet TV. You can find Ben at B-Side Blog on all of the social media outlets. You can also find his website, bsideblog.com, and my website is trashtalktv.com. I'm doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps all season, so please come by and read them. You can find Watch What Crappens on Facebook at Watch What Crappens on facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens and on Twitter at What Crappens. And come on to our Facebook page and tell us stuff you want to talk about and talk to us. We have a really good community there of some funny ass people. So
yeah.
Stop on by and tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, honestly, I really cannot endorse the Facebook page enough because people are putting like funny shit up there. It's really, really good. Like if you want to sort of dig deeper into this podcast, that's the place to go. That's where all the gossip is. We only cover a few of the gossip items, and it's like one item after another all week long going up on that page.
And we're not really even doing anything. We just kind of sit back and read it because it's effing hilarious. You guys take care of it. So thank you to everybody who goes on there and makes it a fun place to be.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Hugs, oh, and everybody.
And, you know, as long as we're encouraging people to do things, I think a great thing that you all should do, because it is January, it's New Year, why not get a domain at GoDaddy.com?
Oh, yeah. So we just played that ad for you at the beginning. Okay, so we're kind of flaked. So, Tara, you won with Shut Up Mountain, I believe, last year. So please email me at... God, what's your email?
Tara won because she bought the domain shutupmountain.com, something like that.
Yeah, shutupmountain.com. And so the winner, and this is so lame that it's taken us this long, we're going to build a website called shutupmountain.com, and every week you guys will be able to go there and nominate who needs to shut up, and we'll vote every week. It's probably going to be a housewife every week, but what Bravo character needs to just shut the hell up. So thank you, Tara, so much for that. Send me the login information and all that so I can build the site. Just send it to Ronnie at Trash Talk TV, okay? And we're going to start a new contest. So you guys go buy your $3. It's so cheap. Go buy it. But I know it's cheap, but it does a lot for us. So go buy that. Email me at Ronnie at TrashTalkTV.com and... tell me what you bought and show me that you bought it or whatever. And the winner will get a website. We'll build a little, a small Bravo-related website.
And by the way, and just to emphasize how cheap it is, I actually was helping out my old boss last week with renewing his domain name. And he pays $33 a year or $38 a year, which is crazy. But that's the thing. To get a website for $3 is an amazing deal. So like we always say in the ads, if you don't even want to build your site, you just want to lock down your domain, seriously, just use the promo code CRAPPINS and you get it for like $3 for the first year, maybe even $2. It's a good deal, everyone. So
yeah, it's good. And so for the contest, just make a Bravo-related domain name and send it to me at Ronnie at TrashTalkTV.com and we'll have a contest. And by the end of February, we'll have some new websites built for y'all. Okay, that's enough of that, you guys.
Yeah, thank you for listening to all that.
Yeah.
All that crap.
Okay,
now
so
let's talk about the real crap.
Yes, there's a lot of crap. So... On this Facebook page, and don't worry, I'm not plugging it again, but this is where we're getting all our Housewives gossip this as of late. So thank you to Michael Cook and everybody on there who's posting. So the big thing today that everybody is posting is that Camille Grammer is considering a return to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's amazing. I did not know that until this very moment, and I'm excited about that. I did read that the producers want to revamp the cast a la New York, because the show has gotten away from sort of like over-the-top lifestyles and like parties with famous people. And I also read one of the articles saying that Carlton is sure to be fired because viewers do not like her. Ratings are down this season, and Carlton is for sure going to be the first to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff already swirling about what's going to go on. Carlton's supposedly getting fired, and Joyce isn't, which
people
crazy
seem to
me.
People seem to enjoy the Joyce and Brandy fighting.
Well, I guess because that's all that's happening. They're fighting, so she knows how to keep her job.
Well, the show also needs its token black person, so that's Joyce.
Yeah, happy Martin Luther King Day, Joyce. So, yeah, there's been a lot going on about all this casting. But, you know, it started going downhill with Brandy. Sorry, I was kind of up for her getting in there. But if you're going to bring one white trash hoe, you can only have one white trash hoe. Because she's right. Telling everybody else off. But then you bring in Carlton and, I don't know, all these phones.
Yeah. Like, and Carlton's friends, and we'll get into it, but like Carlton just brings a whole bunch of like British white trash into the mix here.
Well, now a lot of what Bravo says whenever they do these big casting changes, and little Jill Zarin, who still can shut up, even though I haven't heard anything from her, she can still shut up. But one thing she told us was that they base a lot of their casting decisions just about what they read on Twitter and on the internet. And so today, just for fun, I was a little bit bored waiting for the show to start. So I went on to Bravo TV to read the blogs. Do you ever do this? Read the blogs?
Very, very rarely. I think I read Lisa's blog last week, but I rarely do. Because
well, last
it's like,
week someone
it's like
posted a link to it, and I went and I read all the comments. There were like hundreds of comments anti-Kim, which I think is hilarious. And So now I'm addicted because I love to read what everybody is telling these housewives. And Bravo has stopped, apparently, moderating. Because it used to be if you didn't say something nice, they would just delete you, you know? Not that I'm out from personal experience. But I looked this week, and so I want to go over a couple of the comments that people are leaving on these Bravo blogs, which are hilarious. So this one is Stupid Joyce. Oh, no, this is Carlton. And the title of her blog is Pole Dancing Isn't Just Sashaying Around. Okay? Because it's, you know, it's another week of Carlton trying to prove that she has a working vagina.
Yeah.
So someone tells her, Carlton, please stop trying to shock us. Epic fail. Another one, we all get it. You and Brandy doesn't like Joyce because internet commenters are really good with grammar.
Yeah.
So that one goes on for three paragraphs. I didn't bother reading your blog because I could care less what you have to say. You are nothing more than Honey Boo Boo with a bit more money and a lot more tan.
All right.
What was going on with your friend's baby talk? It was so weird and creepy. Does anyone seriously think that Carlton is a lesbian or even bisexual? It's just all role-playing for shock value. So this is really fun because they're basically hating on her, and I had no idea that people were hating on her. So
yeah,
then
people hate her.
You move over to... So then you move over to Joyce, and people are telling her, stop flipping your fucking hair. Who's this stupid shooting a gun? Who dresses like that to a gun range? Which are great. And then Kim's. I fast forward through most of Kim. Have you sent Lisa a thank you note yet for the generous gift she sent your daughter? Dear Kim, please do not drink a gallon of espresso before you write a blog. OMG, I'm so in love with Guy and Brandy's mother, and that guy with the little girl who sat at their table, and the meatloaf they served in the dishes. Wowee, goody gumdrops. Yeah, and I love Yolanda even though I hate her, but I love her totally, like yay. Does anyone have more coffee for me to drink? Yeah, wowee. What are you, five? So, thank you, Bravo commenters. Thank you.
And, you know, speaking of Kim, there's also rumors that Kim is going to get the heave-ho after the season, which is interesting because if Kim gets fired, Kyle is threatening to quit. And I think that'll be okay.
Yeah, she needs to just go with her fake Jewy ass. Get out of here, fake Judaism. And also, she's threatening to quit, supposedly, if Lisa... I think we talked about this last time. If Lisa doesn't get fired, which is not going to happen. Bye, Kyle. Enjoy your Forever Not 21 Anymore store.
I think that was the major gossip. I mean, why don't we just start talking about Beverly Hills since we're already talking about it pretty much in depth. you know, to get back to Carlton and her friend who speaks in the baby talk, which drives me nuts. I don't think it's ever cool for women over the age of 5 to talk in baby talk.
There's 2 of them now because they've got that assistant, Elizabeth, or whatever her right. name is. Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then now they've got this other ex-stripper who talks like that.
And it's like, you know that she has like kids probably. Like this is, you are setting an example for your children right now. And you're talking baby talk to be like sort of flirty with a woman who you're acting like you have like a lesbian thing with, but you know you're probably too prudish to do anything about it except talk baby talk to her.
And those leathery hags auditioning 15-year-old strippers was too
well, much so that's, catch. Okay, so that, here's, this is my first point. So Carlton has announced to us that she's having a pool party, which we'll see next week. And as part of the pool party.
No, she said pole party. Didn't she?
It's a pole party?
I couldn't tell. I kept rewinding it, but her fake accent is so confusing. I can't tell what the hell she's saying.
I think that both will be present. I think there will be pools and poles. And poles, Polish people.
Lots of holes. Pools, poles, holes.
And coals, as in K-O-H-L, apostrophe S. A lot of cheap clothing.
They're like, hey, I got that $5 bathing suit at Kohl's.
Hey, here's Lauren Conrad. So anyway, at this Coles party, so she decides that she wants to have women dancing all over the place because, you know, she says this first of all as if it's a novelty. Guess what, Carlton? You go to any party, you go to any bar, you go to like any 7-Eleven in Los Angeles, there's a half-naked girl writhing around, okay? It's not that shocking. It's not that crazy. You're not that novel for coming up with this idea. But anyway, she goes, she says that she wants to have women dancing around because she says the female body is like a work of art, you know, and she's doing this whole thing, women are just so beautiful, da 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 da. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I get that. Women have beautiful bodies, etc. But then why are you auditioning the most ratchet hoes in all of Los Angeles?
Like, no kidding.
All women's bodies are created equally, and you're definitely not auditioning the right ones.
Yeah, those girls are straight from a parking lot audition at Elephant or Experiment Rhino. Yeah. Terrible, terrible girls. And also, you know what, Carlton? You look like an antique briefcase that's been left in the rain for a week. Okay? Like, I did not want to see you with your panel of, like, American Horror Idol judges, like ex-strippers sitting there judging 15-year-olds. It's disgusting, and it's so not empowering to women. It's like you're basically setting up a big market for old, ugly men, friends of your husband, to come like buy young women to like take around town. Okay, honey, it's like this is not Muhammad's house.
Yeah, I mean, it really would have been one thing if she was auditioning. If she were auditioning some sort of like pin-up type girls or just like pretty girls. Just, you know, just basic
pretty
girls.
You know what? I would have more respect for her if she just said, you know, every housewife has a business and mine is amateur internet porn. And today I'm, you know, I'm going to interview runaways from Oklahoma and I'm going to have them suck a big old man's wiener. You know? Okay. At least you have a job. That I could respect. But this, no.
No, I mean she's a ridiculous woman, and she's very stupid, and she's very annoying, and like you said, she looks like she's been left out in the rain. She's a great Aussie. She's in many ways, she's kind of like a great poster child for why we should have more Scotchgard on these women's faces.
God, no kidding, and also reading, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that the reading rainbow didn't stay on the air, but maybe instead PBS could just show clips of this moron over and over. So parents can remind themselves, we need to let our children read. And if they can't read, and if they're really pretty, and they insist on being little hoes in school, while they go to sleep at night, play books on tape. Just do something. Try and educate your children, America.
By the way, I love the preview for next week where Kyle sees Carlton's ridiculous neck tattoo, and Kyle says, is that the Jewish star? Which is, and then Carlton gets really pissed off, and I like
first
it because
of all,
it exposes
the Jewish star is Barbara Streisand, okay?
But also it exposes how dumb they both are, because Kyle just spent, you know, a whole segment talking about how she converted to Judaism and she's doing Shabbat dinner and Shabbat Shalom and she's doing the candles and all that, and then she doesn't understand the difference between a Jewish star and any other star is hilarious to me. But then also
I've
the fact that
I've never heard it called the Jewish star. I've heard the star of David, but I've never heard anybody like, that's the Jewish star.
Well, then it just adds another layer of stupidity. And then you have Carlton getting all mad as if Kyle had just said Heil Hitler or something like that. You know, I mean, they're two very stupid women interacting.
Yeah. Extremely stupid man speaking.
Extremely. Extremely stupid.
The picture I'm staring at that's on my computer while we talk about this is poor Camille Grammer. Because we were just talking about her. And it's Camille Grammer with her eyes half crossed. One eye is more closed than the other one. And her face can't move.
Oh,
God, please bring her back.
I know. They should bring her back. And I say bring back Taylor, too. She was a big mess. But I sort of liked her in her messiness.
Taylor might actually get brought back. I have not heard that. But from everything I've heard, she is just amazing on Couples Therapy.
Yeah.
To be able to follow Taylor and her relationship with the lawyer... with her lawyer that she got while she was being sued from people that she stole millions of dollars with her husband.
Yeah.
Killed himself. Like, I can't even put it all in a sentence. It's too much and I need it in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, we should be happy enough that we're getting Camille. You know, Camille is a gem unto herself, you know?
I said that we're going to be celebrating
somebody else's. Yeah, when the same day that we hear about our friend's split.
So upsetting.
I know.
Never gets old.
Never gets old. Never, ever, ever gets old.
Well, they can bring on whoever the hell they want to. The show is not going to be okay until they get rid of Carlton, Brandy, Kyle. I think Yolanda. What does Yolanda do? Nothing. Joyce.
No,
Kim.
they're gonna keep Yolanda because she's rich. The thing is that Brandy, they're not gonna get rid of because Brandy is the only one who actually really gets into fights with people anymore. You know, because she's still
she gets into totally fights, unfilled. But now it's just. At they're first, not, it was funny because she was a victim, and you know, like she was attacked first. You know, she fought back like white trash, but she was still attacked first.
Yeah.
She's just being an idiot because she's wasted all the time. That's not fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know, so in this episode, she goes up to Sacramento with Yolanda for a book reading of her book, and she's going to see her parents, and she's had a falling out with her dad because he thinks her Oscar dress was slutty, but also she's like, she explains to us that her dad is upset because in her book, she described him as a drug dealer, but technically he's just a weed, like, grower. And I'm like... You know, that is actually a big difference. And I think, you know, she says, like, ugh, I don't understand why my dad's mad about that. Like, I would be mad about that, too. Like, if you're not a drug dealer, if you've just grown weed, I mean, yeah, it's in the world of...
It's worse. He's a fucking distributor. That's worse. Like, he's a mega dealer. Give me a break. Like, he's not one of the, like, he's not a Walmart. He's all the factories that use child labor to put the shit in Walmart. That keeps it cheap. Like, he's worse.
Yeah, but when you call someone a drug dealer, it implies that they still use beepers. It implies that you wear, like, maybe blazers with t-shirts. And that's, like, very offensive. I would not want people thinking that of me.
Well, would you want them thinking you're a drug distributor or a drug kingpin? Then don't make drugs. I mean, yeah. Jesus.
Well, here's the thing. People who grow weed, I feel like, don't always have great logic. And I think that they sort of – there's, like, a weed culture thing where it's, like, it's like – it's inoffensive, it's fine, it's pot, it doesn't hurt anyone really.
Well,
and
listen, I agree. I'm legally allowed to buy marijuana in the state of California because of all of my medical issues, which include being entirely too handsome and being too rude to hold a real job.
Yes.
And I'm legally... I love weed dealers. I love her father. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying... Don't act all offended that you're being called a drug dealer when you're a fucking drug distributor. That's what you are.
But at the same time, Brandy, don't be so surprised if you call your dad a drug dealer when he's not.
Oh, yeah, she's an idiot. Yeah,
when he's not like, you know, Tony, what's his face? Tony Montana, whatever.
Yeah, and she acts like such a victim in every single circumstance. It's like, my dad's mad at me because of my Oscar dress. No, he's mad because you called him a drug dealer on national TV. So there's one lie, okay?
Yeah.
So then she's the victim because, oh, this was my favorite thing. They go to boxing class and she pulls a dick move and punches the instructor so hard that she hurts her hand. And then she's the victim because her hand hurts. Because you fucking punch someone in the face too hard and you're the victim. Like, she can make any... She could shoot someone and she'd be like, I burnt my hand. The gunpowder burnt me. It's like, you shot somebody.
You know what? She's also taken a lot of liberties with this whole, like, missing dog situation. Like, it's very sad that Chico has gone missing and probably has been eaten by a coyote. But at this point, it's like you can't start like blaming everything in your life on that. Like, you know, when you drink too much, it's because Chico went missing. Or when you call someone an asshole, it's because Chico went missing. It's like, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. It's not the same. You may have loved this little dog and everything,
whatever. Like, that maid killed Chica because she was sick of cleaning shit up off the floor. Like, absolutely. Potty train your dogs, and your maids won't kill them, and then feed them to coyotes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop and you know, and I'm also getting a little sick of her whole when it's very convenient for her, she does this whole well, I don't have a man to defend me, or I'm all alone. Blah, 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 blah. But you know, that's actually such a kind of anti-feminist thing stance to take that you know, if she doesn't have a man to help, defend her, then she's, useless, or you can't beat up on her. You can't on one hand be like, I'm this tough bitch. I'm gonna write a book about how, I got on my feet again, da-da-da-da-da. And then, on the other hand, be like, oh, well, don't – you can't say that. You have a husband. You know what it's like to have someone defend you. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, totally.
I think I'm getting a little lost
here. No, I'm liking it. I'm just listening to you rant. Yeah,
well, no,
she's not a feminist. She's some pretty girl who maybe could have been a model at one point, but ended up with some fucking hot ass soap star who is still fucking hot. I don't care what anyone says. Married some guy, most likely for his looks, who was probably fucking around on her the whole time and was fine living off of his money until she wasn't anymore and caught him in the act. It's like, it's not like you married some good person, okay? You married fucking Eddie Cibrian. It's not like everybody hasn't known for years that guy's been fucking everybody he sees. Give me a break. I feel bad for her for getting cheated on and blah, blah, blah. But stop. Go find another handsome person their money.
It's been four years, you know. So that's why, whenever, Brandy gets into an argument and then everyone says, well, you know, she's going through a tough time. I don't think that her time of toughness has passed. I think, she's having a falling out with her dad. That can be tough. I get that. But the dog thing, Eddie Cibrian, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah. It's like Kirstie Alley blaming being fat on Shelley Long sending her, hate letters after replacing her on Cheers.
That would drive me to eat. If I started getting hate letters from Shelley Long, I'd be like, oh, shit, I am getting some ice cream because I'm going to read these all night long.
Yeah, but 30 years later, I mean, come on, Kirstie Alley, get over it. That was 500 pounds ago. Let it go, all right? You guys got divorced a long time ago. Stop. But I love that it's divorce. It's this horrible thing. My husband left us and the children and my dog ran away.
Exactly. My little dog the size of a sneaker.
I just have no pity for her because she's such a fucking victim. If she wasn't, I would have pity for her. If she wasn't such a victim, I'd be like, you know, they shouldn't be so mean to her. I mean, she's trying to make it on her own as a single woman. She got cheated on. Her dog died. But when she keeps bringing it up every time she acts like an asshole, and notice that every time she brings it up, she's like, I really want to be here.
I mean, honestly, a few weeks ago, she's like, you know, Joyce, we have some mutual friends, and they do not speak highly of you. And Joyce is like, well, that was rude. Well, I'm going through a hard time. My dog left. No, shut up, Brandy. You did not have to just offer up that information right then.
Yeah. Yeah, Hitler's dog ran away. Sorry, Jews, but get over it.
Well, you had a lot of Jewish comments tonight, Ronnie.
Well, Hitler is the worst.
Everyone, don't worry, I'm Jewish.
And they're pro-Jew comments.
They are pro-Jew.
They're anti-Hitler and anti-Kyle's fake Judaism. Give me a break.
But by the way, so back to Brandy though. So they went to Sacramento, and she gave Yolanda a tour of scenic Sacramento. Which
Mazel tov.
It's kind of funny how often this series has gone up to Sacramento. They've gone to Sacramento quite a few times, but I really liked how Brandy was saying, "Oh, this was gangland territory, whatever." And Yolanda was being like, "Well, in Holland, we don't have gangs." And, everything she was like, "Oh, well, in Holland, we don't have crosswalks. Oh, we don't have bicycles." Well, that's a lot. Everything, the entire Sacramento experience was not in Holland. It's just oh, we don't have hotels in Holland. We just have large cottages. We don't have state capitals in Holland.
Guns and schools. We don't even have schools. We have barns and sticks.
We have giant clogs, and we put desks inside of them.
My favorite Yolanda moment was when she was like, well, yeah, one time I was breastfeeding. I was breastfeeding Gigi in the room, and some man came in with a gun, and he saw me, and then he ran. And I took Gigi and handed her to my mom, and I chased that man down. And if I had found him, I would have turned him into mashed potato. It's like, you're so fucking white that all you can turn a criminal into is something even more white.
I know. But that brings me to a good point, by the way. She tells that story, and it's actually like a very terrifying story. And then Joyce also told a really scary story about how guys with like shotguns and like masks came up her driveway and were going to rob her. So we hear two very like terrifying stories about home invasions. And for both stories, the Bravo producers played music that was like da 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 da. I was like, what is going on here? Like, normally, you know, if someone says, like, oh, shit, like, I left my nail polish at home, the music's like, boom. But then they're talking about, like, real-life danger. Like, yeah, there were two guys with masks, and they had shotguns, and I would have been, like, raped and murdered had my dog not, like, luckily, like, gone crazy on them.
I didn't even hear all that. I think when it's Joyce, I just tune out because I heard her say, like, well, you know, one time I looked out and I saw these men with masks and they were coming up the driveway and my dog was freaking out. And I was like, what? Like, they were probably like trick-or-treaters or missionaries.
And she's like, and then my dog ran away after that. So I really understand Brandy's experience. Just trying to empathize. I just want to give her a hug right now. Just want to give you a hug. Okay, I accept that apology.
She's so stupid. I can't listen to Joyce. And then she's telling the guy at the gun range, oh, I've shot a gun before in a movie. And he starts laughing like, bitch, please, you've been in a movie. And then she doesn't even know how to hold the gun without the chamber falling open. Like, oh, my God. You did not do this in a movie. Shut up, Joyce.
I know. I'd like to see her and Kenya Moore get together for a film.
Oh, my God. Yeah, great. I love it. Oh, God. We'll get to Atlanta later. But, it's like, two fake actresses. Like, you guys know that there's the internet. And we can look this shit up, right?
Yeah. Two great black actresses. Joyce and Kenya. Making great advances for black cinema.
The Help could have been so much better. Okay, so what else happened on this? I love that we only really saw Kim. I guess we saw her in that gym scene or whatever, but there was only one time they showed Kim, and she was like, I love boxing. Boom! Bang! Yeah, boxing! Well, I hit her. Yeah, and then we fell down. Box, box! I got a book in the mail. It was in a box. Yeah, I was like, I love boxing Amazons. Stupid Kim.
Yeah, they you know, they went to self-defense class, and then Brandy accused Lisa of mothering her again, and you know, I think they're trying to set the stage for whatever epic blowout they have later this season. So
yeah, that's pretty sad because they're all grasping. That last scene was just so sad to watch because it's Brandy grasping at some reason to be mad at Lisa, and then it's Kyle grasping it. So it's like Lisa didn't even do anything. Like, look, I get that Lisa can be a haughty bitch. Okay, I'm not saying that she can't. But these two, like, pick something real to be mad at. I think that Kyle's like, oh, well, Lisa's the only person with the job, and she's the only person that's busy. Yeah, Kyle, what the fuck do you do? Except, like, pick things out online and let Eileen, too, or whoever the hell is your partner, run that store. You don't do anything for that store? Shut up, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. I mean, Kyle and Brandy are both very immature. I mean, I could not even imagine these women, like, talking with, like, my mom, you know? Like, it's just, like, they're on a different plane. Like, I can imagine my mom and Lisa having a conversation, going to dinner, something like that, you know? But I can't imagine my mom ever being, like, social with someone like Kyle or Brandy because they're just, like, immature. They act like a grown, like, older teenage girls, you know?
I want to go to the Facebook really quick. Viviana just left a hilarious comment. She said, Yolanda's icy glare and bare breast halted a home invasion. That's such a beautiful way to put that.
I'm telling you, if I were a robber and I came across Yolanda with her Aryan glare, I too would run. I would run very fast because she has probably like 30 like Doberman pinschers. She might have 30 dachshunds too that come and attack you.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking frightening, man. That Yolanda can be one scary hooker.
Yeah.
So what else happened on Bev Hills? Are we done with that?
That's done. We're done. Why don't we move on to the other scary hookers, which are down the street in West Hollywood on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I just watched that and posted an article at Trash Talk. It's really not an article. It's just a picture of what we see at the very end, which is Stassi smacking the crap out of Horseface number one.
Yeah. That moment in the previews is so it made me so happy. Like, my soul lifted. It lifted up through the ceiling into the heaven to see someone actually smack Horseface and in a way that doesn't sound bad. You know, like, obviously a guy can't smack her. But for Stassi to smack her, that's great.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. That was the best thing ever. And I'm watching it right now. I just went on the site, and now it's just playing over and over again.
So speaking of Horseface, the show opened up, I think, with her crying. She's crying in her apartment. And, I can't stop talking about, I need to go to Michigan. Like to Michigan. Like seriously, seriously, I'm going to the Upper Mitten in Michigan.
Oh, she's horrible.
She is really an awful, awful. We're talking about Kristen, by the way. If you've never listened to the podcast before, when we say Horseface 1 and Horseface 2, those are references to Kristen and Katie, because we're very mature and we call women Horseface 1 and Horseface 2.
Well, they started it by calling themselves hot.
They did start it. They did. So anyway, so Kristen went off to Michigan to have some alone time and to get her emotions in order, which of course is hilarious to think that she could ever do that. And while she was gone, Tom and Jax had a really good fight. Jax basically got his knickers all in a twist and accused Jax of ruining his life. Did I say Jax got his knickers? Tom got his knickers in a twist.
Yeah, Tom got his knickers in a twist. So what do you think about that? Because it turns out that, of course, you know, Stassi's a bitch, but she is right about a lot of things.
Right.
When she's like, of course they're friends. They're both lying, cheating assholes.
I mean, her name is Stassi, is literally named after the German secret police. She knows all the secrets.
Yeah. And she was right again. But it's not like they had sex or anything. They met out drunkenly in a hotel at the Gold Coast. I mean, they made in the pool at the Gold Coast. I sound like Kim today. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, so basically what happened was what Tom finally revealed was that he and Ariana made out at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas.
Best line of the night, Golden Nugget, you've sunk to a new low.
Yeah, I love that was what was more offensive to Stassi. I can't believe you did it at the Golden Nugget.
And he's like, what? I love that place.
Yeah, then they get like a whole side discussion about casinos. So here's my theory. My theory is that, you know, it was such a stupid thing, you know, Tom and Ariana as a kiss a few years ago. My theory is that the producers probably got into Tom's ear and was like, you know, you probably shouldn't tell Kristen about it because she'll get really upset. So you should probably keep it to yourself. And I bet because he's very stupid, they probably felt it was manipulated into not sharing it until, of course, it became a much bigger deal than it was. And that's why I think he didn't tell her initially.
I think that he probably just figured she would fucking lose it and freak out, and then he'd have all these girls slashing his tires and going after him. Those girls are nuts.
Yeah.
Those girls are crazy. And well, I love that they're so, like, you know, they're going to keep their man in line. But so far we know that 2 out of 3 of their boyfriends have cheated on them multiple times. So, yeah. Like, great job. Like, did you ever think that maybe being such a ratchet bitch has something to do with that?
Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, to speak, just as further evidence that these women are crazy bitches, Horseface, number one, before she even gets to the airport, while she's on her break, she gets to the airport, she tweets, Tom Sandoval is the best boyfriend alive, and we are both crackheads. This bitch is crazy. She is crazy. What I love, though, is that when that came out, so Stassi was telling this to the other mean girls, and then they were like, ugh. They roll their eyes, and they start talking about how life is so much better when Kristen's not around, when she's off in Michigan. Do you realize it's like every week they announce who's the best one to not be there. Like every week they're like, ugh, have you noticed that like we always have so much fun when Jax isn't here? Have you noticed that like when Sheena's not around, we have so much fun? Like this is the way it should always be. So this week it was like, have you noticed that like we have so much more fun when Kristen's not here? Yeah.
Jax is the worst, and I hate that, you know, Bravo has gotten me so used to seeing women backstab each other and, like, treat really good friendships like they're nothing and just throw them in the garbage for no reason for a little airtime. Like, yeah. I'm kind of used to it, you know, at least the women on Bravo. In real life, I still would get disappointed in a woman friend, but on Bravo, I expect it. But yeah. The men, I mean, come on, stop trying to make it so even, like... You put a hoe before a bro. Who does that? Who does that? All he did was make out with the girl. Why would you do that? And then he makes it so much worse than it was. And ugh.
And Tom was absolutely right. Tom was absolutely right when he said that Jax comes up with grandiose stories. Or I think the word he used was something like grandited stories or something like that.
Yeah.
But he comes up with grandiose stories just so he has something to talk about with Stassi so he can win back Stassi's.
Yeah. To Tom, grandiose is like a mix between grand and gross. I don't think that's what he meant.
He actually thought it was something like Grand Marnier. He thought it was a cocktail. Like, oh yeah, this is a grandiose margarita. It has like a shot of grandiose in it. It's really, it's great.
An essence of cucumber. They love it, sir. She's like, essence of cucumber. Oh my God, we infused a pineapple. What?
But the point is that everyone's really stupid on the show, and they're all bitches. You know, to me, a great example of the girls being bitches, especially that Katrina girl. She's not like a main. Is her name Katrina or Karina or Katarina?
The one that's Olivia Palermo.
Yeah, she's not like an official cast member. But at one point, so Sheena got engaged. It was a long, stupid, boring moment. And afterwards, Sheena is talking about it to Horseface number 2 and Horseface number 3, and so they're asking about the ring, and Stassi's like, well, it was actually really nice. The ring was like princess cut. And Katrina like rolled her eyes as if like, ugh, like what trash. Like, are you like fucking serious? Like, it's an engagement ring. Like, let this poor girl have a moment. Like, yeah, who cares if it's princess cut instead of...
And Stassi's like, you two need to get the sticks out of your asses. Which, I mean, again, Team Stassi for one episode at least. That shit was hilarious. And yeah. What is that girl bitching about? You ain't never getting anything.
I know. The only thing that I'm telling you one thing. I think the term princess cut would be more apt for that girl if there was an N involved. Hey-o. Hey-o. Hey-o.
Yeah, that girl's horrible. It's bad enough dealing with the ones that we have to without bringing in extra hoes.
Yeah.
No, so she's... I wanted to ask you an LA question.
Please, Ron.
I've noticed that on this show, they're always swimming at like hotels and stuff. Can you just walk into a hotel and start swimming? Like, they go to that one on the Sunset Strip that, not this episode, but they've been to that one on the Sunset Strip where it overlooks the city.
Yeah, the Andaz or the London. You know, some of them you can. Like, for instance, the Standard, you can just go and swim there. Others, like, I believe the London, I think you have to be a guest to go up there. But I think if you come with a crew, it's okay. Like, I think the Roosevelt you can swim in, yeah.
Just as long as you're buying drinks and stuff?
Or you have a TV crew with you.
Oh, yeah. That probably helps. So as long as we go to the Standards.
Go to the Standard. I love going to the Standard.
I was curious about that because I had a friend who was like, oh, we should go to the public pool. It's so fun. I was like, gross. Who does that? Let's go to the Strip. Of course, you know I wouldn't go in anyway. I'd be so afraid. I'd get laughed out of there.
I'm telling you, for anyone who's out-of-towners who want to come to L.A. and have an experience, I highly recommend going to the Standard and getting yourself a mojito, sit back, and watch the craziness unfold.
Yeah.
It's not super crazy, but you definitely see some weird things around that pool.
Yeah,
it's Europeans crazy. And such. Yeah, it's fun.
Europeans and such.
It's true. Europeans go in there with, like, weird bathing suits, and they're smoking cigarettes. They somehow, like, keep their cigarette, like... a light underwater. I don't know what it is. Like Europeans, their cigarettes do not go out. Yeah. And that's basically what you see.
Yeah, Europeans are keeping Americans smoking. I think Americans would have quit if Europeans weren't just sitting by pools blowing smoke in our faces because it keeps us addicted.
I'll tell you one thing. I was just on Olympic and Pico walking around about like 2 hours ago, which is like a highly Israeli neighborhood. And you want to talk about cigarettes smoking on the street. Oh, my God. That's one smoky block around there from between Doheny and Robertson.
Oh, really? Could,
oh, yeah. That's like some hardcore Tel Aviv cigarette smoking going on there.
Oh, I'm
going
to walk down there every once in a while. Just start inhaling.
Well, it's not the prettiest of walks either, I'd like to add.
I was speed walking behind. I was doing my like exercise walk yesterday, and some guy was in front of me. Smoking, and I was going to cross the street because, you know, I was trying to exercise, and I was like, no, I'm going to smell this. And so, like, I got real close to him and just kind of walked really close to him awkwardly right behind him. That's good. Smelled good. So anyway, sorry about that. Detour. So the Vanderpump Rules, so Kristen comes back. She comes back from Michigan, which I guess she was gone for like a second. She was gone for like a
day. Hey, guys, I'm back from Michigan.
Seriously? I'm shit back.
Seriously. And she's like, seriously? I feel like really centered. I feel like it was really good for me. I feel like centered and like, I feel like I'm in a good place now. And he's like, you know, like she, whenever, by the way, okay, I'm going to say something sexist and I'm going to stand behind it. Whenever girls say, I feel like I'm really in a good place now, it means they're in the worst place of all. Yeah. That's what you should know. That's code for I'm in such a bad place that the only way I can deal with it is if I start telling people I'm in a good place. That's the only way I can deal with it. Yeah. I guess it goes for guys too, but I feel like girls do it more.
Yeah. And you don't want to ever say you're in a good place because that gives somebody the opportunity to be like, well, what place are you in? You're a waitress in a restaurant where your boyfriend is admitted to cheating on you and has been working with the girl that you hate and he cheated on you with for like 5 days.
Yeah, it's never
you're
a good
such
sign.
A good place, welcome home.
It's never a good sign when you have to retreat to Detroit to get into a good place.
Yeah, they're not doing well there.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm gonna pass dilapidated, broken down car factories to make
yeah.
myself feel better.
It's like, I went to Flint, Michigan, and really got centered.
Yeah.
I saw the old GM plant. I saw some women eating rabbits.
She's like, I drove around listening to Motown, remembering how it's dead now, to feel better about myself.
Could you imagine if she even listens to Motown? She'd be like, I don't get it. Why are these people singing about? This doesn't sound current. Like, seriously? Like, I'd rather listen to Sheena.
Oh, guys, speaking of Sheena, it's so hard to like her sometimes, even though she's like the nicest thing in the world. But I love that Stassi, just to get her to the surprise location, which is just fucking Lisa's house. I mean, did Lisa move so she could just have cameras installed everywhere and that they don't even have to have camera crews there? But it's Lisa's house, of course. And they're just like, okay, Sheena, there's a photo shoot. She doesn't know what it's for. She just shows up there because they tell her there's a camera there. And then it's just fucking Pandora. Like, all right, stand there. Don't look at me. All right, I'm going up a hill now. Don't look. She's like, okay. Stassi's voice. She's got this like Muppet thing to her voice, and it's making me crazy. She'll be like, okay.
Hang on, Sheena.
What are you doing here, babe? I thought it was, I can't cry. I'm here at a photo shoot.
Like, yeah. I love that. Like, Shay shows up, and he's like clearly about to propose to her, and she still doesn't really get it until he gets down on one knee. Even then, she's like, "Is this part of the photo shoot? I thought we were doing. Is this supposed to be good looks for when you're getting engaged?" Like, an engagement is the perfect excuse to put on a nice maxi dress. Tell me what her column is. If you're gonna get engaged, take a spackle out and coat your face in 10 layers of makeup.
If you're afraid the diamond is gonna be small, then just put on so much eyelashes that you can barely see through them. You won't know until after you've taken a shower.
You're making her sound like Skeeter or Scooter.
I'm telling you, I know it needs some work, but there is definitely a Muppet quality to her voice.
There's actually a Muppet quality to her entire existence. Like, I expect to see, like, little poles under her arms. Sort of walks around like a Muppet,
I'm
you know?
I'm sure there have been.
Bopping.
All right, so... What else happened on the stupid show? So again, I have to say, I love that they're giving Lisa more to do this year on the show because she's fucking hilarious. I love how she feels bad for nobody, but she still keeps everybody around because she likes to hear the drama of all the kids, you know?
Yeah, Lisa did something really creepy. I should have taken a screenshot of it. I don't know if anyone noticed it, but she had some sort of, I guess what they call a smoky eye, and her makeup was in such a way that when she closed her eyelid, it looked like her eye was wide open. It was so creepy. Did you see that? Did anyone see it?
No, I didn't see it.
A little Easter egg for all you people out there. So the other thing that happened was, or a continuation of what happened, so Kristen comes back after being centered from the poverty of Northern Michigan or wherever she was, and she's all centered, and then until she has a meltdown in Sur and starts yelling at Ariana, starts calling her a cunt and all these nasty things, and Tom's telling her to shut up, and it really bothered me again. This is, again, another example of Bravo setting the women's movement back 100 years, because it was a prime example of a woman hating on another woman when it's the man who's at fault.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, and even Tom is saying, yell at me. And Chris is like, well, she's the cunt. I'm like, no, you actually, of all the people here.
Why? I mean, here's the deal. Are they crackheads? Because that would make more sense. Like, you know, you stay together with, like, I used to have this friend who was just horrible. He was so mean. But we used to love going through Arby's together and getting, like, 20, like, 50 cent. You know, they would have, like, specials. Like, we'd just, like, binge together. We'd get, like, 3 pizzas and binge. Like, I hated him, but I could never do that in front of another human being and haven't to this very day. And I'm wondering
if that's the
same.
You could do it with me.
I couldn't do that with you. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you could.
No, you work out.
Well. But yeah, I'm saying you could do it, and you wouldn't have
to. No, this guy was like 200 pounds heavier than me. Like, I, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, yeah. Like a true addict. You're not an addict. You'd be like, oh my God, I had 3 pieces of pizza. Oh, I ate so much. Like, no, I couldn't do that with you. I mean, like a real addictive, fun binge.
Let me tell you something. Come with me to All You Can Eat Korean Barbecue, and you see a whole other side of Ben.
No, I would be like, horse face there. I'd be like, do you have anything vegetarian?
Oh, that's right. You're vegan again.
No, just vegetarian.
Oh, veg. Whatevs.
I had to amend that whole good goal. So anyway, yes, she's terrible, and she doesn't seem to know she's terrible. She seems kind of off the rails. She stays.
Well, also, but what I also think is funny is so she's coming at Ariana, and Ariana really does not give a shit. She's like, okay, well, whatever. Like, it was a kiss. It was nothing. I didn't want to, like, sell out Tom just for this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She's very, like, sanguine about it. She's just cool, collected. And what I liked is that afterwards, all the girls rush to Ariana's side. They're like, oh, my God. Kristen, she's, like, out of control. She's crazy. And then Stassi, it's like Stassi was almost, like, bending over backwards to get Ariana off the hook. She's like, well, you know, Tom did say to you that, you know, he's breaking up with her, so you had no idea. So in your book, like you thought it was a perfectly innocent thing, and I get that, and that's why I'm not mad at you. I'm like, listen, if it were like the other way around, if this were like Sheena or something like that, or someone that Stassi hated, it'd be like, well, Tom said he was breaking up with Kristen, but you didn't know that for a fact, and you still went through with it, you know? Like, she went out of her way to exonerate Ariana in this situation. And it's just hilarious to me the way these mean girls operate, the way they shift alliances to make someone feel so shitty about themselves. And yet at the same time, I'm not going to be on Kristen's side because Kristen's awful too.
Kristen is awful. I hope that Tom, like, I hope that he sleeps with so many people over the course of their relationship.
She deserves it.
Wrecks her. She is the worst. Yeah. And Stassi's only doing that because she's getting revenge for other things. She's getting revenge for Cabo. And yeah. Horseface number 2 will get hers too. Don't think that she's going to get away. Like, both of them are hilarious.
Yeah, I was like,
they're so true to Stassi, and they're both going to get it, you know?
Yeah, Horseface number 2, she still has something coming to her. She did cry during Stassi's party, and that was a no-no.
Oh, yeah. She's going to get it, and everybody knows it.
Well, next week will be great because Stassi punches Horseface number 1. So I think we all are looking forward to that.
Yes, for sure.
A lot of fulfillment. And speaking of brawls, it looks like next week on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, we're going to have quite a brawl.
Oh my God, the men get into it. Okay, this week we learned on The Real Housewives of Atlanta that every single man on this show is either cheating, has cheated, or is with you because you're money, basically.
Yeah.
They're all pigs on this show, every single one of them.
No surprise there. Yeah, and that goes, so, well, let's see, where to begin? Well, I guess, so one of the stories was a lot about Todd, because there's this girl, is her name Natalie, Natasha?
Well, first, let's start with the beginning, because we opened this week with Cynthia, which, that's always a bad sign.
Yeah.
So I was not expecting much from this episode, because it wasn't even like, sometimes it'll be like, Cynthia, you know, she's posing, and then it'll be like, hey, babe, what do you want to do today? And then it'll cut to Nene's house, and then it'll go Nene, and then we follow Nene, and then it's interesting. But this time it just stayed at Cynthia's house, and I was like, oh no, we're in trouble now.
And they went to bar 1, and I guarantee you, because that's Peter's bar, I guarantee you everyone in that bar, I guarantee they're paying them, that they came in from, like, Craigslist. There's no way that people actually go to that
those
bar.
Those were Twitter people, as Nene would call them. Those were your Twitter people.
Yeah.
They probably just put something on Twitter like, Cynthia's going to be at bar 1 tonight. And, like, a bunch of weird poor people came. But, yeah, so they had it at bar 1, and Peter's like, how does Peter talk? I haven't done an impression.
He sort of sounds, it sort of sounds muffled. Oh, I can't, yeah, my Peter impersonation's not good.
Yeah, Peter. He's like, welcome to the restaurant. Yeah, here's our friend. Here's how we know these friends. And so it's obviously this weird fake relationship that they have. And
by the way, and let me interrupt here. That have you noticed that this season on Atlanta, it's been like a revolving door of like friends of cast members who are like trying to get on the show?
Yeah,
it's like,
they're just all auditioning their friends this year.
Yeah, it was like Monique got to go to Savannah, and now we have these girls, Natalie and Charles Williams, the former R&B singer.
Yes, so that was the best part. Peter's like, you gotta come across the street, man, to see my place. And Cynthia's like, Peter, thinking, of course, Peter's gonna whip out a lease and try and talk this poor guy into, like, getting a new music studio, you know, for music that he no longer records.
Right.
And so Cynthia's mortified, so they do go over to the studio, and there's a little table set up, and, you know, like a little Bravo. I don't even think we saw a waiter. It was probably like a bag of McDonald's under the table.
And by the way, can I say that Bravo, if there's something that Bravo loves to do on this show, they like to take a tiny little table and put it in a vast space and say happy anniversary.
That like was how many Cut Fitness.
Yeah, like how many times do we have to see a tiny little table for an anniversary in a huge warehouse or soundstage? It's the most unromantic thing. I think it happened with Kim Zolciak. It's happened, with Tamra, everyone.
So he's like, I got a surprise for you, babe. So, you know, she can smell the McDonald's under the table, so she's not impressed already. So this R&B singer comes out and he's like, now this is a song that encapsulates everything that Peter feels. Dun, dun, dun. I was broke when I met you. I didn't have a dollar to my name. And then I saw you, and you gave me some money and a little fame. And now I got a car I didn't pay for. And I got a building I didn't pay for. And I've got a restaurant I can eat for free that I don't pay for. I love you, baby. And she's like, that was so romantic, Peter.
Fibroids.
That whole song is about how he was broke until he met Cindy.
Yeah. I mean, so and I liked how, you know, earlier they were talking about Natalie, Charles's wife, knew Todd from way back because Todd had cheated on Natalie's friend, and she basically was implying that he was an opportunist, but basically said he always knows how to find himself in a better situation. And I liked how, you know, Peter was acting as if that was like a crazy thing. Like, Peter, what do you think you are right now in this situation? Like,
no
you
kidding. Like,
what were you doing before this, before you were spending all of Cynthia's money on crappy endeavors?
Yes, and that's my favorite thing too, because that woman, she was, what was her name?
Natalie.
Okay, so she was saying basically that he was an opportunist, but she never said that. She said, look, all I know is that he broke up with her and he ended up with someone better. He always knows how to find him a better place in life. And then Cynthia's like, so he's an opportunist. Well, now I'm just saying that he gets a better place in life. And she's like, so he's an opportunist. So then she runs and says opportunist. Like, you were the one who said opportunist, not her. Even though she was, she was saying that. But
right, exactly. Meanwhile, though, Todd, I don't know where I stand on Todd. I mean, I think he seems like a more or less a good guy. I'm glad he's helping out Candy with her play, because to me, by the way, I started to have this like visceral, like feeling of dread as she went and looked at that theater. It was like a big, real theater that's $10,000 a day and they don't even have a script yet and they're trying to book the theater. I like to me this
yeah,
is
yeah, but
like,
she even said, she's like, if we're gonna be a Tyler Perry or whatever, you know, like if your goal is to be a Tyler Perry in the theatrical department, I mean, you've seen commercials for his plays before he got famous. I mean, they were like a curtain with a house painted on it, and then like a big folding table and like 50 people surrounding it yelling. Like, it's not like a high, it's not a lofty goal. Is all I'm saying.
That's true. That's true. She can write the songs.
And also, as far as Todd, I'm sorry, but I don't trust any man. I don't trust any person who won't sign a prenup. I think that's bullshit. If you're going to date a rich person or marry a rich, famous person, you're going to sign a prenup. Or you're in it for something else, period. I don't believe that for one second he would be with her if she was some poor girl with orphan Annie Fantasia hair. He would never do it.
Yeah, I think Mama Joyce is crazy, but I'm starting to, the tide is turning for me a little bit on Todd.
Yeah, if he's not going to sign a prenup, then no, I don't trust him. And, you know, he should just say it like, listen, you want to sign a prenup? Fine. I want a prenup too, though, because what if I end up making a lot of money in my job? You're not going to come take my money. And if I do help you with your endeavors, then I want serious pay and I'm not doing it for free. Like if it's going to be business, then it's going to be business. That would be fine. But for him to just not sign a prenup is bullshit. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I agree. Meanwhile, so I feel like I'm saying this like every week, but I went on to our podcast from last week and someone left a comment about the Candy Burris impersonation that I'm fond of doing. And she was like, this Candy Burris impersonation is still racist. And I'm like, listen.
Oh,
like,
shut up.
No, but here's the thing. So as everyone knows, when the fun of the Candy Burris impersonation for me is that Candy has such a strange voice. It's very deep, and then it can get nasally, and then it can get high-pitched all at once. That's like the most impossible voice to do. And so whenever I do it, it's just this crazy car wreck of a thing. And it's not like me being racist. It's, I'm getting to a point with this. Obviously, it's not me trying to be racist, and I've explained this many times before, and I stand behind my stupid impersonation. But what was hilarious is that on the show, Nene impersonated Candy. And you know what? Nene's impersonation sounded like my impersonation, so I want to hear no more about it. Because Nene was like, don't talk about my man, don't talk about my mama, don't talk about my child. Like, that's what I do, more or less. See, Riley, don't
that
talk about
that was Riley. Hysterical. Nene's impression was hysterical.
Yes. So for those of you who've never heard my Candy impersonation, it goes something like this. See, we're going to start a play and Riley's going to be all involved. And see, the way I see it is that, like, I always get it done. So Riley, she's like, Riley, we have a play tonight. See, it doesn't make any sense. It's the hardest voice of all time. It doesn't sound like Candy. It doesn't sound like anything. It just sounds like it sounds like an old tape that is warped and going fast and slow all at once.
Sanny D is her name. Candy impression is still racist. She's not an ape. First of all, learn to spell and learn to like capitalize things when you're typing. And second of all, if we're so racist, why are you listening like the third week in a row, Sanny D? Go away and shut up. Like, stop with the racism. Like, there are real racists out there. Go out there and find them and do something meaningful with your life. Get the fuck out of here, lady.
Yeah. There are definitely ways to... Listen, there are ways to do racist impersonations, and mine is just bad impersonating. That's all. There's a big difference.
Like, there's real racism out there. Like, go fight the real fight, okay? Get the fuck out of here. You're making me fucking crazy at this point. Normally, I don't even like commenting on that. And all I would have to say to you is just stop apologizing. Who gives a fuck? Anybody listening to this, you just need to turn it the fuck off if you're offended, okay? I am an offensive person, but even more offensive is the shit that we have to sit here and watch to do this show every week. You know, we sit through like 6 hours of tripe week after week to watch this. And you know what? I hate every fucking race. I understand what God did when he fucking made Noah build that boat and just take animals and then kill all the races. Okay? Races are terrible. White people are probably the worst out of all of us. Y'all just need to shut the fuck up with this racism bullshit. I'm over.
The only reason why I brought it up is only because Nene did the impersonation and she basically growled the way I growled. So I felt like
she did too. I was dying. But I love how they all have such a finger on Candy, too. Like, don't mess with my mama.
See? Now, can't mess with my mama. Riley, don't mess with my mama. Don't mess with my man. Don't mess with you, Riley.
The funny one, too, in Candy Circle is this Don Juan queen. That is like
I like her, Don Juan.
What is
I like
it? He's like the business manager. But I love like that he's always, like, seething and furious. Like, he's always about to just
he's
go
like
off
a car-
and start...
Doesn't he look like a cartoon? Like, he should be in, like, Looney Tunes. Like, he should be doing that thing where, like, he gets, like, you know, like, he gets, like, very, like, skinny and puts his hands out. He's like, you know, looks like he should be doing that. Like, stomping his foot and, like, the Candy's, like, Bugs Bunny or something like that. Like, jumping on a carrot.
He's like, see? And he's like, oh, hell no. We don't know what we're doing. We don't even have a place to do this. What are we doing? She's like, no. Come on now. Okay. No. After that whole rant, I will turn racist now because like,
I know now you
I cannot,
now you
I can't even imitate her. I've tried a million times. I can't.
You're going into like Fat Albert Mammy territory. So
yeah, Fat Albert. That's my imitation of you doing it. It's Fat Albert. Hey, hey, hey. Don't mess with my mama.
No, we're gonna.
Don't mess with my boo.
Oh gosh.
I'm sorry. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say he is like a little cartoon character with smoke coming out of his ears at all times.
Yes, like furious queen. He's just like got so much anger built up from whatever childhood trauma he went through that he's just like seething at all times. I love it.
Yeah.
So the big plot point this week, other than Peter being grateful for the free ride he got in life.
Yeah.
Was that someone decided to go to a vineyard? Whose trip was this?
I think this was a. It may have been a. It may have
Cynthia.
Been a. Yeah. So it was basically a group trip, And it was like so many people. I mean, even Marlo was there. It was like everyone under the sun was there. And actually, what sort of was hilarious is that, like, it, at certain points, it sounded sort of like a luxury car dealership. They're like, okay, well, this is Porsche. This is Lexus. I was waiting for like a minute to come out. There's literally like, literally that Porsche and Lexus were introduced one right after the other. Porsche, this is Lexus.
Oh, that's funny.
This is Escalade.
So Candy, Porsche, and what's her buns?
Phaedra
were in one car, and the rest of them were in the other car. And just listening to them talk shit about the other car was so fucking funny.
Right.
Like, well, Candy's coming, she's still fat. It's like, oh my god, you guys, stop it. And the poor fat girl was sitting there, like, just nodding, like,
Yeah, exactly. And then meanwhile, the other thing is that, so they're talking about Natalie, who meets them there ultimately. But in the bus ride, in Cynthia's bus, this is where Cynthia spills the tea about what Natalie had implied about Todd, et cetera, et cetera. And then somehow it comes up about Natalie and Charles, and Kenya starts talking about how she, like, oh, Natalie is a common law wife, not like...
Oh, because they were talking about how they got married. Like, everyone was saying, oh, well, we got married here, and we got married there, and Candy was, they were talking about where Candy's gonna get married, right?
Yeah, something like that. But then
this new girl was like, oh well, we got married in Vegas, we just went straight to Vegas,
and Candy's like, I heard you were a common law wife. And it's just like, why would you ever say that to someone, and why does it matter? Like, that's what all the women were saying. It was one of those moments where the entire cast except for Kenya actually was like, had a head on their shoulders and was like, whose business, who cares. Yeah. But the best is that Kenya says this whole thing like, oh, I heard you were a common law wife. And then about 30 seconds later, he goes like, well, I mean, I just want to stay out of it. Like, yeah, bitch, right. You brought it up.
Well, read between the lines. Why would this guy be telling Kenya that his wife is just his girlfriend? I mean, obviously, he's either fucking Kenya or trying to fuck Kenya. So I don't know what she wasn't saying there, but she's probably, like, everybody has fucked everybody else's boyfriend this year, so I won't be surprised if that's what it was.
Yeah, Kenya should have taken up that opportunity, because now she's trying to get pregnant. You know, she should have sown her oats back then.
Oh my god, that's like trying to rehydrate a raisin. I mean, it can soak up some water, but it's just never going to taste the same. You'll squeeze it and just, like, disgusting water is going to come out.
You can reconstitute a raisin just fine in some rum. It tastes lovely.
Well, that's actually probably a really good way to put it in this situation.
Yeah.
That whole fake baby thing is hilarious.
So, well, so
that gaping hole is just about as likely to produce a happy home as charades.
You know what baby is going to come out of there? It's going to be whatever creature is in the previews for next week's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't know if anyone saw that. That doesn't even make sense, but someone's
like
walking
around Satan party, baby.
Like, it's like a little golem. That's what's going to come out of Kenya.
Because Kim goes to get to some autograph show. Like, what are you doing? It's like when Sally Field goes across to Paramus or whatever. So people
and
will
ask
her autograph. Yeah. We're getting lost. So anyway, so they're talking all this shit about each other. Kenya starts a war with this girl that she doesn't even know, suggesting that her husband was banging all these people into her and lying about being married to her.
And so then Natalie's like, well, shut the fuck up. And so then Kenya, of course, is happy to then say, well, I don't, you know, you're also the one who said that Todd is an opportunist. And then that pissed off Candy. And then Candy is defending herself. And in the process of defending herself, she decides to take down Peter, of all people. It was just like this wonderful, like, downward spiral of, like, clawing women. I was very happy with it.
Yeah, this show, they are probably the most ruthless on this show, but they do it in the most fun way, and they always end up just laughing their asses off, which is hilarious.
Yeah, because on Vanderpump Rules, they're also, like, they're terrible to each other in the same way, but then they're stupid about it, like, or, like, really stupid, and they're so vile about it that you're just like, these are just the dregs of humanity. But with Atlanta, like, in the end, it's like Candy just standing up, waving her hand around, being like, I'm fine, you know, like, I'm the best.
Well,
so.
Yeah, when she's like, well, my husband, you know, if Todd was climbing this whole time, then he climbed to the top, and he's not going to get any higher than me, so cheers to Todd. Like, you go. That was the best answer ever. And I love that, like, Candy is being forced. It seems like recently, but she's really being forced in the past season or two to show her real personality, because she's very good at keeping it, you know, keeping a lid on it, you know?
Yeah.
She's very calm. She's very even-handed. If she doesn't like somebody, she's very quiet, but she's had to read a couple times this year, and I've loved every second of it. I love her.
Yeah. I agree. So I think basically Natalie, the new girl, she stepped into the wolf's den and she got her head bitten off, more or less.
Yes, and you know what? She deserved it. She had goodwill after getting attacked by Kenya.
Yes.
You know, she like had Brandy's entire three seasons in one episode. Like, she was a victim, and instead of letting that flower blossom into like a full-time job, she fucked it up by going after somebody else for no reason.
Although, to be fair, she did not say that Tao was an opportunist, and the words were put in her mouth, but by then it was too late.
Well, but she did say that Todd was always dating people to get something better in life. Like, she did suggest it.
Well, what I love is that what happens on every episode these days is that someone gossips about something that happened 20 years ago, and then when they get confronted about it later in the episode, they say, well, it's no big deal, it's just 20 years ago. It's like, well, if it wasn't a big deal, why'd you bring it up?
Yeah, they need something to do. And
that,
you
was
know,
my
good for good for Cynthia to have something to say for once.
I know, other than fibroids.
Yeah, not fucking your husband.
Mal was like, "Want to buy some beads? Want to buy some beads?"
Mal, she's like, "You know what would be really great at this winery? Beads.
That'd be great. Oh, we should have some beads here. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stay at this winery for 2 months. I'm gonna sell beads. People are gonna open up their wine bottles instead of wine coming out. It's gonna be beads."
Some funny okay. shit.
Shall
okay,
we, let's
so on. Where are we with Atlanta? We're done with that shit, right?
Why don't we move on to Blood, Sweat, and Heels.
Okay, Blood, Sweat, and Heels. Loving this show. It's so good.
I love
that they have intelligent people on a show, even though they're acting like idiots a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you know, it's like they're not really being that idiotic. I mean, so Geneva and Demetria had like a coffee where they made up. And it was like a very mature conversation, and they stated their points very clearly, and they like listened to each other, and they were empathetic, and they used proper grammar. I mean, it was like, what network is this? This is not Bravo. If this were Bravo, they'd be making both women and black people look terrible right now. This is insane. I don't understand how this is happening.
Yeah, everyone's actually looking really good on this show until they go to a party and what's her buns? What is that drunk's name?
Mika.
Drunk one.
Micah.
Yes, she, Micah just gets
she
wasted.
She is Molly Shannon's character, Helen Madden, the licensed joyologist from Saturday Night Live, the one who goes on to Pretty Living and kicks her foot up in the air and goes, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
She even does kind of look like her.
She does. I mean, that woman, there's one part that there's this party because Geneva starting a new position at Uptown Magazine. And so the magazine was throwing her a party. It was like a work event, networking, et cetera, et cetera. And Micah and Melissa Ford proceed to get wasted. And at one point, like Geneva, Demetria, Bree, they're all like sort of sitting on a couch. And then Micah just sort of like floats over and just like drapes herself over the back of the couch and starts kicking her legs up in the air. And I was like, oh my God, it's Molly Shannon. This is Molly Shannon right here. I could not stop laughing.
She's pretty funny, and usually when it comes to sloppy drunks, I get super defensive, but I'm really enjoying her.
Yeah, I liked when she was, like, airing out her vagina, too.
Oh, my God. This show is so good that, again, I'm enthralled, and I really don't even have anybody to complain about. And isn't it a shame if I don't have something mean to say, I just can't say anything? Like, I have nothing to say, really.
The only one I don't really love is Daisy. I think she's kind of boring, and she's...
Ugh, Gail. She's the worst.
She's sort of... She lacks substance. She's sort of annoying. She's like a big nothing. I'm still on the side of the super hot guy that she... That she went on the date with, even though he was a total ass. I like that on this episode when he told Dimitri about it, he was like, she has no class, even though he was the one who was the bigger asshole. But I was like, yes, exactly.
Yes, that was pretty great. Yeah, that Dimitri is fantastic. I can't wait to see what she gets into this year.
Yeah, no, she's like, she should not be on a trifling reality TV show. She should be having a much better career than this.
That woman has no fucks to give. And I love when
and she's smart.
She's smart, but look, she's a relationship expert. That's stupid.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're in media because she has a blog. I mean, do you walk around saying you're in media?
Of course not.
I mean, come on. That's like if you handed me a card that was like, Ben Mandelker, in media. Like, shut up, Ben. You have a blog. We are not in media. We are not Rupert Murdoch.
Well, but she has written some books. You can say you're in media if you've written books. I'm sorry, you can do that.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I put my face on a t-shirt once, all right? I'm in media.
Yeah.
I'm on the internet and on a t-shirt.
Well, she, I don't know. Demetria, I'm a big fan of hers, a big fan. I like where her head's at. She's a little abrasive, you know, she's a little blunt, but you know what? She
but I like that she can admit it, you know.
She did, and I agree. And in fact, I liked it when she said something about, like, she made some joke about not admitting her flaws because it would make people more annoyed or something like that. You know, I thought that was cool. Like, that was.
When she was like, I really need to work through my, you know.
Yes, when she said that.
With my ego or whatever.
Yeah, when I think Brie was talking to her and being like, maybe you should be the bigger person. And instead of, like, if she were down on Atlanta, she'd be like, no, she better come to me. But she's, like, not an idiot like the clowns in Atlanta. And so she was like, I know what you're saying is right, but I have to work through my ego. I was like, whoa, what a, like, oddly, like, mature and self-aware comment to make for a reality star.
Well, my whole point in bringing up her media bullshit is because normally I would hate someone like that. Normally I would hate somebody who's like, I'm a relationship expert and I'm in the media because I have a blog. Normally I would hate them, but she's just such a real girl that I really like her. Yep. The only one that really makes me crazy at this point is Gayle King. And the girl, Brie, I actually really like her. I thought I was
like
going to hate her because anybody
Same.
Who's like, let's pray before dinner. Like, shut up. But yeah. I really like her.
Yeah, in the first episode, she was the one who said that women can't lead because they're too emotional, and then she had the prayer thing. But then the second episode, she explained her position a little bit more clearly, and she seems like very, very together and smart and intelligent. I don't know what's going on with the show. I'm like, I'm having the shakes. It's so strange. Like, smart black women on TV. What's
Bravo
doing?
Smart women on TV, Jesus.
Yeah. Smart women, true.
Bravo's,
like, ruining their brand.
So I don't have much to say about that, but I would love to talk a little bit about Top Chef this week. Have you been watching Top Chef?
Yes, I'm telling you every week. I love Top Chef, and I know you hate it, but I love.
No, I don't. I mean, I have for most of the season because it's been so boring. But ever since they like started drumming up all this crazy drama, that's like. Really, compared to every other Bravo show, it's not drama at all. But ever since they got a little drama, now I love it. Now I'm totally down. I love that fake drama where they're trying to get everybody to hate the Mexican guy, who's like the nicest fucking guy in the world.
Well, he's done some asshole things, though. But I think Nicholas is an asshole, too, though.
Nicholas is horrible. Whiny little human being. I hate people like that. He's like, I never get to see my family. Really? Then go to fucking college and get a job where you get home at 5 p.m. Like,
you're
a chef and you're working till 2 in the morning, and that's why you don't see your family. It's not like you're being held prisoner by the man. Like, shut up with that. You don't see your family. You think your kid's going to blame Applebee's in the future? No, he's going to blame you. So take some responsibility and stop whining with your rosacea ass. You drunk? So over him. And he's taking every little thing. And who gets to go around saying, oh, I'm going to mark these ovens. And, like, marks them with a fucking marker. Who does that? You can't do that.
He's an asshole. I don't think he's going to win. I think that this is up to Shirley and Nina, you know,
Tom,
and those.
Well, Tom hates him. I mean, I think all the judges pretty much hate him now.
Yeah. I mean, he was lucky. He should have been gone. It's actually been 2 weeks in a row that he should have been gone.
Yeah. He's only here this week because the season was boring and he's been bringing drama.
Yeah. I don't even remember. What did Brian do? He made a chicken breast. That's why he went home. Too bad.
Yeah, he made a chicken breast. But what did this guy do? He did something.
Okay, his quinoa got burned, so his dish had no texture. But on top of that, he like did like a study in carrot. He had like carrot 6 ways in one plate. It was like.
But so didn't stupid. He have sushi this week? Wasn't it him who served like raw tuna?
Maybe a
carrots or something. It was like,
oh well, no, Roy like, Choi. They had to do po' boys, and Roy Choi went and like yelled at all of them, right?
Roy Choi's kind of a dick, though, right?
He is.
He's so arrogant. Like, congratulations, you've served food out of a food truck. Like, only on Top Chef would everybody be like, oh my god, he invented food trucks. You know what? Who invented food trucks? Fucking Mexicans downtown in every city ever. Okay?
They invented
the food truck.
I'm going to give him credit. He kicked off the gourmet food truck revolution for sure, or he popularized it, because I know it did exist before him. But he definitely has this like whole like, yo, I'm super cool, Roy Choi. But that's kind of indicative of a lot of chefs these days. That they just think that they're just like they do think that they're like Aerosmith or something like that, or like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
like
the celebrity
like,
chef.
It's super cool that you can cook, and it's cool that you're innovative. And like, you know, I haven't really had much of Roy Choi's food, and what I've had has been delicious. But like, stop honestly acting like you have girls throwing panties at you. Okay?
No kidding. Just... At the end of the day, you're fucking Mrs. Pat Moore. You work downstairs in the kitchen getting flour all over yourself all day to feed the rich people, okay?
Daisy!
How do I use the... Oh, I'm doing Archie Bunker. Sorry.
I have to use a bowl with a mixer, Daisy! The future's trying to strangle me!
Yeah, I agree. I got the sense that he was being cruel to be for cruelty's sake, even though he said he wasn't. I kind of thought
he was being a dick because he's been on this show before, hasn't he? And someone was like, "That guy's a total dick." he's mean and abusive. It's like, go back to your fucking restaurant on wheels, okay? Get out of here.
The thing is, that's what his persona is all about. He got into a fight with, I think it was Russ Parsons from the LA Times, because he had this. Roy Troyer just released a book a few months ago called LA Sun, which is like, it's a biography. With recipes scattered throughout. And apparently the biography goes from his tough days living in Orange County all the way through to when he like joined a gang and all this and that. And it ends like right before the Koji truck comes around. And that's the truck that did all this amazing stuff. And so the LA Times, I think, wrote a review, something along the lines of like, you know, the book is good and everything, but it ends just when it should be getting started. And sometimes it feels like the book really is only to serve, it's to reinforce the thug image that Roy Troy likes to have. And then Roy Troy wrote like a nasty tweet like, "You totally missed it, bro, like what the fuck, da da da." I'm like, just shut up already.
Dude, you're like 45, stop shopping at Gadzooks. Like, I can't take you seriously. Also, I told you last week about my friend at the Village Idiot, right? Who went after the Voltaggio boy.
No.
Did I not tell that story last week?
I don't think so.
So I was at a... I think I did. Well, sorry, audience, if I've already told this. I'm turning into my mother. But I was at the Village Idiot for a birthday party last week, and my friend who just moved here, Trisha. My name's Trisha.
I know Trisha.
So, yeah, Trisha. So she's one of my weirdo friends. Love her. Been friends with her forever. And she's a total weirdo, and she gets drunk and embarrassing, and I just love it. So we were at this friend's birthday party at the Village Idiot. Trisha gets wasted because she's nervous and doesn't know that many people. And she's like, you know, pulling a full mica, kicking her leg up in the air, and like walking up to people and being like, "Are you on TV?" Like, just being Trisha, you know? So we're outside talking to a smoker friend, and Voltaggio comes out, the punk one, the really cool one, man. So he comes out, and he's with a friend, and Trisha sees him, and turns around and goes, "Oh my God!" And, like, jumps him, like, gets on him, starts rubbing him, like, hugging him, like, holding his arms, wasted, cross-eyed, and going, "Oh my God, you're my favorite villain on Top Chef! It's Voltaggio!" And... he looks mortified, like he just wants to run away, and his friend goes, "Oh, you love him so much you don't even know his name. His name is Voltaggio, not Bellataggio." She goes, she goes, "Who cares? You were on Top Chef."
She's right.
"That's my favorite show ever. Who cares what your name is?" So he's like peeling her off of him like she's like a crazy homeless woman who like sees a nickel. Okay, so he's like peeling her off, and the friend is like trying to get her off. So he's parked right in front of the restaurant, and he's in this fucking Ferrari, which is hilarious to me. Because it's like, you know, congratulations on your restaurant, but you do not have a Ferrari. Shut up. Shut up with your rental. It's like, I was just waiting to see the fucking, I'm trying to think of a, like the Hertz thing on the back. So anyway, he gets into his Ferrari, and he just sits there in front of the restaurant while I'm dying laughing. You know, Trisha's like, "What, was that embarrassing? Should I be embarrassed?" And he sits in his Ferrari, and he's going, on this little tiny side street, you know, on Melrose. I was so sad. I was like, "You sad, sad, cross-eyed little man. Like, get over yourself. You're lucky someone fucking recognized you and didn't ask you to bring them an appetizer. Get over it, you blue-collar. Get over it, Mrs. Patmore." That's how I'm thinking of it now.
That's hilarious. I mean, the thing is that, like, all these chefs are such reality whores. They pop up, they are on Top Chef, they're on Top Chef Masters, they're on Chopped, they're on This with the Food Network, That with the Food Network, Eat, Drink, Love. Anywhere there's a camera, they're going to pop up. I mean, Roy Troy especially. And, like, that's fine. That's what you have to do to keep your brand up and have people come into your restaurant. But then don't be surprised if someone walks up to you and is like, "Oh, my God, you know? It's like,
you're going to have to fucking deal with it, okay?
If you want
to be a celebrity, there's, like, a million Trishas. At least Trisha's funny. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. It could have been me.
It's like absolutely
a lot worse.
Yeah, you could. That shit could have been Instagrammed all over the world.
I think there is a picture of me with Marcel from Top Chef. If you do a search for like Ben Mandelker, Marcel, Google image search, it pops up.
Oh, I had a Marcel run in last week too. I think I told you this one. I was driving with my friend in her gigantic brand new Jeep. My lesbian friend who has to drive like a car the size of a bus because that's the lesbian thing to do. And he passed in his little Jeep, like his little used Jeep, and he was giving us a dirty look. And I was like, why is that guy giving us a dirty look? So I talked to him at a laundromat once. Well, I mean, Jesus. And she goes, it's not us, it's the Jeep. And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. He's totally body checking our Jeep.
Oh, snap.
These little men on Top Chef, get over yourselves. It's like Patsy says to the girl, or it's like Adina says to the girl on AFAB. You work in a shop, girl. You can drop the attitude.
Well, you know, I think they have like, I think some of them, I'm going to be a pop psychologist here and make some generalizations based on very little concrete information. And I'm going to say that I think a lot of these people actually have some anger issues. Because if you look at whenever they do their biographical things, they're always like, yeah, I wasn't much of a student. I hated going to school. I was like doing drugs. I was failing everything. And then like I found food and it saved my life. And I never went to college. I went right into the kitchen, da 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 da. So I think usually when you have people who are like dropping out of school, turning to drugs, whatever, there's usually a little bit of a storm brewing inside of them. And I don't think that, you know, food doesn't actually make it go away. And I think maybe it gets channeled into the food. So that's probably why they have these attitudes.
That's why I think these cooking shows have become so popular, because anyone who's worked in a restaurant I've worked in restaurants my whole life, and chefs are just angry fucking people. Everyone knows it. Like, it's so rare to meet a chef that's not angry and doesn't have issues, and you're there 12 to 14 hours a day working your ass off, and it is an art, you know, and it is a skill, and I get it. I mean, I definitely respect chefs, but TV chefs are a whole different thing. Like, you are not in the kitchen for 24 hours a day working your ass off for $5 an hour, you know, in a thankless job that no one ever even sees your fucking face. Okay, yeah. You're like whoring yourself on TV while you're paying someone $5 an hour to cook your shitty food for you, Bellataggio. Yeah. So shut up. Yeah.
That being said, Ink Sack is a really tasty sandwich shop, and that's Michael Voltaggio.
It is. I was going to go there, but the only vegetarian thing they had was like some tofu sandwich with mayonnaise on it. I was like, that sounds delicious. Thanks. No.
Well, how about you just stop being vegetarian?
I don't know, because now it's gross and everything. It doesn't taste the same once you get used to not eating it. It's not a moral thing, you know that. I have no morals.
I'm rolling my eyes.
It for a diet, and then I ate chicken and it tasted like cardboard. Then I ate barbecue and it tasted like blood. It's just gross. I don't like it now.
All right, well, speaking of gross things, let me just touch on the Shaws of Sunset really quickly, because you are not watching it anymore, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's like I said to Chicken, you're disgusting. And I'm not eating you. So many innocent people have died to give you a chance to let me eat you. And it's not worth it. You're gross.
Well, okay. So I am still watching it. I'm really enjoying it. This Gigi and MJ war continues to wage on. And let's see. This week they went to the races. They went down to Del Mar to the races. And it was hilarious because they all got into a limo outside my building. So for anyone who wants to see what my building looks like, just go to that scene of Shaw's The Sunset and watch them all pile into their limo, and mine is the gray building. And I don't know, there was just like there was a big drunken fight between MJ and Gigi, and I seem to remember it came down to Gigi just babbling on and MJ saying over and over again something like, walk away, Golnessa, walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away. Walk away. Golnessa, walk away. Walk away. Golnessa, walk away. Golnessa June, Gigi, walk away. Walk, like, literally for like 5 minutes. I'm just sitting here like, is this how I'm spending my time? And I'm like, yes, this is. And I'm so happy that I'm doing it. It was good. Mike and Reza have, they've squashed their beef.
Oh, wait.
That's so Persian.
What was their beef? Because I saw that on the commercials and I was like, oh, there goes Mustache betraying another friend for no reason.
Yeah, their beef was that when Reza went off on the gay guy in the club in East Hollywood, you know,
she's America! Yeah.
And Mike stood up for the guy because the guy wasn't doing anything wrong. Then Reza was mad at Mike. And then Mike was mad at Reza for being mad at him. And then Mike was also mad at Reza because Mike has not doing well with the business, and he's hurting financially, and da da da. It's like a whole bunch of stupid shit.
But then
so
I saw in the commercial, Reza was saying, "Mike has betrayed me. He stabbed me in the back."
Well, he says that because of like the gay guy. He's like, Mike is like he's not your friend. Like, he's a stranger. I am your friend. I am your friend.
I can't believe somebody didn't stand behind me when I was calling them faggot in open on national TV. That's crazy.
That's so Persian.
Gross. I saw the episode I started with because I was going to have this big Shaw's catch-up day so I could talk about it on the podcast with you. And it was the episode where he goes to see a psychiatrist who specializes in gay rage.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious and probably should see him also. But he was like making himself the victim in this whole thing. And I was like, you know what? I can't with this. Like, that guy is so mean and horrible. And now he's like a bigot against his own fucking people. And now I have to feel sorry for him. Shut up. I'm not going to. So I turned it off again.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I am still enjoying it though. I think on tonight's episode, Gigi calls MJ a big fat cow or something like that. So, you know, fun stuff. Fun mature stuff all around. Just your standard. I will say this. By the way, here's a side note. Speaking of cooking, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in the beginning of last week's episode, Asa made a little lunch for Gigi and MJ. And temporarily, they all made peace. And the food that she made looked delicious. And I'm just like, you know, Asa, you're so stupid. You're sitting here focusing. You're trying to make diamond water a thing or Persian pop priestess or a tarantulas. Like, I actually feel like if Asa came out with a cookbook or like moved her specialty into like Persian food or something like that, that's something that I would actually like be interested in, you know, because I actually feel like she has authority in that area.
I think she should make leggings for fat people. It's like those kind of leggings that don't like overly stretch over the hips, because those are terrible. I feel like big people deserve leggings that fit too. And I think that that would be a perfect business for her. Or like silencers, maybe like gun silencers or mufflers for cars. Anything that quiets things down, because every time I see her, I just want things to be quiet.
She should sell nose necklaces. Meanwhile, that was probably, it's probably like a very like sacred or traditional Persian like piece of jewelry that I'm like.
She should sell bandito bandanas made out of gold.
She should sell front stoops that have $30,000 worth of gold hidden below them.
Yeah, she should sell shovels and call them like Wells Fargo shovels. You know, just dig holes places and bury your parents' money there.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think. There was something with Lily too. Oh, there was an issue with Lily because Lily can go back to Iran whenever she wants because she didn't leave as a refugee, but Asa can't because her family, they were refugees. And Lily's like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Just like going back to Iran. And, you know, Asa did not appreciate that.
Well, are they keeping this gay guy on? Is he
Sasha?
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything of Sasha recently. We're gearing up for the big trip. Everyone's going to go to Turkey, and because that's as close as they can get to Iran without being in Iran. And so it's going to be a big group trip to Turkey. Oh, except for Lily. Lily will probably just go into Iran because she can go there.
Yeah, so hi, guys. Why isn't anybody coming to my dinner?
I'm bringing Fluffer Nutter Pooper Scooper into a run with me, because it's such a free country.
He didn't run.
She's like,
I'm bringing my friend Pooper Scooper Fluffy Peanut Wiener into a room, please. Does he have clearance?
It's so fun being a horrible person with you, Benjamin.
I know. And so to anyone who's listening to this and making judgments about what I really am like in real life, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
All right, so that should end us up, right? You have anything else you want to add before we do?
No, my brain has sufficiently melted. it's like a nice baked brie at the moment.
Yes, I'm exhausted and punchy, which means it's time to end. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening to another week. Go buy your GoDaddy domain using the code name Crappins and enter the contest, and we will build a Bravo-related website for you. And Tara, don't forget to send me your information at ronnie@trashtalktv.com so I can build Shut Up Mountain from last year. It's $3, GoDaddy.com, use the code word Crappins. I'll play that again at the end. But anyway, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Come talk to us. You guys have been cracking me up during this podcast reading all of your comments. And I started reading them again. Damn it. Bloop, bloop. It's saying bloop, bloop. So come there to talk to us during the week. You can also tweet us at whatcrappens, although your best bet is Facebook. You can find me at trashtweettv.com. My name is Ronnie K. there. I write Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps, and there's a lot of really great recaps there during the week. You can tweet me at trashtweettv or at Ronnie Karam on Twitter. You can find Ben at B-Side Blog on all the social media outlets. Twitter, his Instagram is really good, Facebook, and you can also find his website at bsideblog.com. It's the best entertainment website of 2013, you guys. It was totally voted that by LA Weekly, for reals. So go find that and read up, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
On Monday, Josh Leibarger made his status
Case of the Mondays,
followed by a frowny face. It got one like and five comments, including dislike. Well, Josh, Geico also wants to make a comment to turn that emoji's frown upside down. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. With all that extra dough, why not give Monday a makeover? We see an office party in your future, hosted by you. Hashtag happy face. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.